mind, you consciously find the corresponding impatience, and vice versa. Meaning, right now I feel frustrated because our connection keeps getting lost. I would need to take a moment in stillness and silence and peace of mind, realize I could be patient too. There's patience in the mind too. Pain's love. You'll see this later in our seminar here or in our reading through the PDF. One of their primary exercises, which is the corresponding antithesis to all distortion in the mind. Right? The antithesis or the polarized opposite of all troubles in the mind is the recognition that the moment contains love. Okay? So, finding the corresponding polarity in consciousness, in mind, is challenging. And it means that during the day, when we're in a distorted anger, frustration, impatience, we actually have to recognize what quality of mind is the opposite to that and find it. And that means knowing and accepting what's in. So Roe asks, can the theory or this practice be applied to global activity? Yeah, I think it's true. It's like we focus on the New World Order and the evil ones, the dark hats, and feel anger and frustration. Well, you know, look at a child or look at a flower, and you might see love and kindness and happiness and joy and innocence. All of that is real. All of that is... represent elements of collective consciousness, of collective mind. So that's important to know. Strong, I don't want to be weak. I want to be kind, I don't want to be angry. Well, you know, sometimes we get angry, or the mind creates anger. Sometimes we feel weakness. Sometimes we are not what we want to be, but we are what we are. Mind is what it is. Mind can't be transmuted into all love, all ease, all peace, until all that is not that is known and accepted and appreciated and healed. And that's what the healing is. This healing is the bringing of second and third chakra blockage into fourth and fifth centers. It is the bringing of the stored itself, universal wisdom expressed itself, knowing the mind. So internalizing polarity, knowing the mind's hierarchical construction, based on the ability to keep silence of self as a steady state, requires first then recognition of what we like and what we don't like, what we approve of and don't approve of within ourselves. And then balancing each positive or negative, meaning what's liked and disliked, with the equal. I don't want to be angry or frustrated, but I can be sometimes. Okay, let me make some final comments on this section of Ra. Okay, so let's examine the self, internalize 3D polarity. How? We find impatience and frustration now. So let's find patience and ease. I can find it somewhat, and I think everybody here can find it somewhat. Okay. So we identify, I want to be patient and happy and relaxed. Well, I find myself impatient and frustrated. So bring them together, accept them both, balance the frustration that I don't want with the ease that I do like, both of which are in the self, discovering the completeness within the self. The second phase, second discipline, is accepting the completeness of consciousness. Accepting all that anyone is, I can be too. All that anyone manifests in terms of qualities of mind, I could manifest too, including all the things that are distorted that we don't like. So it's not right, it's not good for us to choose, pick and choose among attributes. That creates more blockage, and social roles and confusion in the mind, which is already distorted. So to say, I don't want to be that way, I want to be this way, keeps us from being this way and keeps us from developing or becoming fully what we wish to be. Saying, I hate anger, I hate sadness, I hate this stuff, all my junk, keeps it. This is a very deep point, and people should know that. So, each acceptance smooths a part of the many distortions that self-judgment creates. Self-judgment is disapproving of elements of mind. Accepting it smooths a portion of us. You become what you hate. Yes, absolutely. You become what you hate, you become what you like, or love. And so love and hate are both forms of attachment and identification that ultimately enslave us. And that's why Buddhism, you know, in the old language talks about freedom from love and hate. You know, we use love in a more positive way, but love meaning cherishing attachment absolutely leads us to become that and become attached to that. And so that's what's seen in meditation, you see. That's what's seen in silence of mind at a steady state when looking at what we approve, what we disapprove of, and the completeness of mind, and then accepting that completeness. What we see is, oh, these are the elements that arise. These are the elements that arise as the others arise. These are the elements that I approve of. These are the elements I don't approve of. These are the patterns that I like, that I don't like. This is what I deny, this is what I avoid, this is what I don't want to face, this is what I cherish, this is what I'm attached to, this is what I disdain. Of course, you're attached to all of it. And then there's an acceptance of all that. And then, ultimately, there's lessening of distortion. Yes, hate experiences separation. Hate and love and hate are basically both forms of attachment. And, you know, keeping the system of the apartheid system of mind, right? Mental apartheid. Excuse me, I have to adjust my mic. The mental apartheid is, you know, you are the good guys, you're here. You are the bad guys, you go there. That further and continues the distortion and blockage of mind. So then the third and fourth disciplines of mind are repeating the first two with others or looking outwards. There's completeness in the mind of every being, of all others. It's important to understand each balance in each person we meet. And so viewing patience in others, we can see impatience. So recently here where I am, I could see frustration and small-mindedness in a staff member. I could also and should also have, you know, realized her big mind too, and her kindliness, which is there, and that which is expansive and peaceful and well-being in her. And in Seth material, they talk about that too, and in psychology, they talk about that too, which is, you know, don't pigeonhole people based on some portion of what they manifest, because that limits. That limits who they are in some ways with you, and it also limits how well we can appreciate their wholeness and therefore what we bring forth with them. So when you view patience, you can mirror that patience, or you can, it's an interesting thing actually, that this is very, really delicate. When you view patience in others, the practice is not to manifest impatience. Right, somebody's patient and kindly with you, so I'm going to manifest the polar opposite of meanness and impatience. No, that's not the practice, of course. The practice is then a mirroring of, let's say, harmonious manifestation from others. They're kind to you, you're kind to them. They're unkind to you, and then you need to understand their unkindness. That's a little different form of mirroring. You can be, they're unkind to you, they're angry and frustrated and selfish. You can, number one, still be kind to them. Number two, understand their anger, their meanness, their small-mindedness, their pettiness, their foolishness, their immaturity, dot, dot, dot. and accept it, and realize you don't like it, and accept that, and realize that's not all they are, and accept that, and somewhat be at peace, and then consider what's a skillful response. You know, of course, this is light years ahead of what the other person is probably doing with their mind, but... And then you can accept the fact that you think you're better. I'm better than them. I'm smart. They're stupid. That's not true, too. That's true, but it's not true. It's true you think it. It's fine to accept it and understand it. Why do you think it? Well, part of the reason we might think it is because we're doing a lot of work and they're not. Another part is it's lonely. Another part of the reason we have that belief is that we don't realize oneness. If you realize oneness, there's no better or worse. There's no split in reality. There are no levels. There's no polarity. There's no right and wrong. As Ra says, that's the law of one. So the third and fourth exercises here is really noting, recognizing, seeing, accepting, discovering the completeness of others, and then four is accepting the completeness of others, acceptance of the other person's mental polarities, mirroring the second step, which is accepting your own. The fifth step then gets into the real subtle stuff of observing geographic, geometric relationships and ratios in your mind. And again, this is adept work per se. This is related to the seven phases or elements of mind as a complex of energy, as a complex of points of consciousness or functions, interrelated functions. You know, this is something even Buddhism doesn't talk about exactly, although you can infer it, but it's really, really subtle. So, okay, good night. Good night, everybody, and see you next week.